The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
No matter what, get out and see some dirt racing. Get some dirt on your face.
Get some dirt on your dog.
Yeah, dirt on your dog.
Absolutely. With Billy the Kid, my name is Joe Dirt. Dirt World on RealRacingUSA.com.
Welcome to Dirt World. It is Wednesday night, and I am here with my good friend Joe. And yeah, this is the second time the phone rang. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, we got a big show lined up for you tonight. We're going to continue our champions segment, where tonight we'll have the other three champions from Volusia Square Park, your street stock champion, Alan Peacock, your four-cylinder champion, Danny Lunn, and your mini stock champion, Charlie Statz.
And for the second week in a row, I am eating while we're doing Dirt World. Got to do it, man.
Last week we had the Jornos, and this week you had ordered in.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you know what? We're on like a once-a-week pizza trend over here.
Yeah,
you got it. I didn't think I was. I was thinking today, well, I could kind of go for some pizza.
So how was your week, Joe? I mean, we're ready to go here. I mean,
all is well. You know, the full fender frenzy in the record books. And, of course, you guys had a great race Saturday night at Ocala.
Friday night.
But Volusia, we put it in the books. Now we're going to enjoy a couple of weeks off and come back November 1st. Points are over, like we, of course, talked about with the championships. November 1st, Monster Trucks. And, of course, Ocala, you guys, man, brutal, going all the way to the end of November.
Yeah, we race points race up to November 21st. It'll be a big thing. You know, speaking of Ocala, this Friday night, 1,000 to win sportsman. You know, again, guys, this is your opportunity to come out. It's 1,000 to win, 30 laps. This was a thing that Mike put together. The late models give the late models the night off so they can go to Brunswick for the showdown on the coast, which starts tomorrow night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night up there. Big show, 10,000 to win. That's where I'll be Saturday night. And, you know, that's what I was saying, Friday night, sportsman. 1,000 to win, 30 laps. First time this year, except for practice, sportsmen will race on Ocala Speedway, and I think it'll be good. I think it's a good track for the sportsman cars. I think it's a great opportunity for the guys to come out and pick up an extra $1,000. And, you know, it's not the sun's going down a little sooner now, so the track's holding a little more moisture, and the track's been good for the last few weeks. So it'll be exciting to see this Friday night.
And, of course, like you said, Saturday night, showdown on the coast, perhaps one of the biggest late model events that everybody looks forward to. Here in the Southeast, this, of course, is with the National Late Model Series running at Golden Isles in Brunswick, Georgia. Going to be a great race. Now, weather, perhaps a concern up there for Saturday.
I was talking to a local gentleman today, and he said it's supposed to sprinkle some during Saturday, which I don't think that'll hurt anything. It all depends on how much they get and if it stays all day, but I think if they just get it some during the day, I think they'll be okay. But, yeah, the showdown on the coast it gets bigger and bigger every year, and this year, I think they're expecting somewhere around 60 late models. I talked to Sue Combs earlier this week, Rodney Combs' wife, and she said she thought Rodney was going to make the trip. Now, he's been supposed to make the trip a couple times, but I saw a rumor that Don O'Neill may make the trip, and I know for sure that Rambo, Dennis Franklin, will be there. Even though Chillicothe, Ohio is running the Dirt Track World Championships, this is 10,000. Cool 10,000 at Brunswick Saturday night.
Yeah, and you get a guy like the Real Deal can come and he can take their money. But man, I'm really surprised he's not going to Chillicothe. I mean, that's one of the majors, certainly on the late model tour, regardless of what sanctioning body you're aligned with. That's a major. And seeing Don O'Neill out of Martinsville, Indiana, come to Georgia, I mean, it'd be wonderful.
I really don't expect to see. I know they advertise it, but the guys are always talking that they're going to show up, and they really never do. But I think if he shows up, that's fine. But even if he don't show up, I still think they're going to be 60 strong.
Easy. Easy.
I was talking to Andy Schill earlier this afternoon, and Andy Schill said that his red car, young Dylan Wood's going to drive it out of New Smyrna. They're going to take it up. They're going to Greg Ward's got. They're finishing it up this week, and they're going to take it. So there's another entry in them. I mean, just talking to the people that are going, I mean, it should be close to 60 strong.
It's going to be a good one. Folks, we want you to be a part of this program. It's simple to do so. Email us at dirtworldshow@yahoo.com. Once again, if you have questions or comments and you want to be a part of Dirt World here for Wednesday night, simple, dirtworldshow@yahoo.com. We update that every few seconds and always like to hear from listeners. We will, like Billy said, have, of course, Danny Lund, the four-cylinder champion out of Umatilla, Florida, Alan Peacock, the second-generation driver out of DeLand, picking up the UMP Dirt Car Street Stock Championship, and, of course, making contact with Charlie Stats this evening. Charlie's actually tearing out the blown-up motor in that AR machine, that 9AR. So looking forward to talking to all three of those drivers here tonight. And if you have a comment or a question for those drivers, we'll be glad to kind of relay that to them. DirtWorldShow@yahoo.com.
Yeah, big show. Like we had three champions last week, and we got three more champions this week. And we got we may hear from Sean Smith at the end of the show and talk about his big win at Volusia on Saturday night. I wasn't able to make contact with Earl Pearson. We were going to surprise everybody and have Earl Pearson, who is your five-time Lucas Oil champion. We was going to have him on tonight, and he told me he's getting his stuff ready for the Chillicothe, but maybe next Wednesday, so we'll go from there.
Here's a blast from the past from the email bag. Simply wanted to let you know I'm still alive. Not sure what I'll be doing next season, but rest assured I'll be doing something in the dirt world. Hope y'all have a wonderful show tonight. He's sitting in the balcony of his hotel room in Palm Beach Gardens getting ready to listen to Dirt World for the first time. Our good buddy, Terry Caton. Terry, what is happening?
Get out, man. Terry Caton.
Terry, I still need to send you that, so don't believe me. I have not forgot about you.
I wonder if
a lot of things have developed since we've talked last, Terry, since you were at the Thompson Memorial, so I've got your number, and we will definitely get together.
Tell him to drop us a line and let us know if he's calling the race this week at Brunswick.
Yeah, Terry, if you're still listening, let us know who is actually in the tower for Frankie. And if that's the case, if it's you, we'll certainly see you this weekend.
I tell you, we keep falling back on to this deal. And I mean, I just want to let the cat out of the bag. Next season, this showdown on the coast is going to be a combined race between United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series and the National Late Model Sportsman Series. So it's going to be kind of like it was at the Thompson Memorial next year. So you figure you put them guys that are 40, 50 strong with the other guys at 40, 50 strong, this could be a 100 car count next season at the showdown on the coast.
Yeah, easily. It's always been a successful event. Of course, you know, the work that the Lloyd family have done up there over the past couple of seasons is a gorgeous facility. The racetrack, what can you say? I mean, talking to Dylan Wood a couple of weeks ago, we had him on the program, and, you know, it's flat out.
Place
I mean,
is awesome,
it's a smooth, it's a very gradual transitions and the turns, and you know, a kid like Dylan Wood, he loves it. So, yeah, I mean, it's a wonderful facility. Easy to get around that racetrack. Just got to have a little bit under the hood.
Right. The place is awesome. Then next weekend at Cozumel, Henry County, United Dirt League Model Challenge Series will take on for the Kim Allen Memorial. Now, don't forget, guys, you can get your advance tickets for just $10. You can order your advance tickets through Ken Kenny, through Jack Smith, through myself, through Joe, whoever. Just give one of us a call. We'll put you down. You can get your tickets for $10 in advance. They will be $25 at the gate. And proceeds to this go to 50% of the money raised goes to the local ESC and the school for the kids down there. Kim Allen, Joe, was a local businessman who died of cancer last year. He died of colon cancer. You know, I brought this up for a reason. We lost a good friend and a sponsor at the racetrack on Monday. Mr. Joe Epton, he died of cancer.
Yeah, Joe Epton, of course, president of Cypress Coquina Bank. They were the sponsor of our mini stock division for a couple of seasons. The relationship had just started to really build there with Joe and, of course, all of us. Joe drove a street stock, which was a hobby stock, formerly a hobby stock. He drove a street stock, lived in Ormond Beach, survived by a wonderful, a beautiful daughter and, of course, his wife. But arrangements have been made, and those of you that are interested in paying respects, you can do that tomorrow night from 5:30 to 8, or it might be 5:30 to 9 at Loffman Funeral Home, right on, that is on Granada, and that is just east of Nova Road. So those of you wishing to pay your respects to Joe Efton, just a fine competitor. And interestingly enough,
great
Joe
guy,
Efton,
man.
He was a wonderful man, and Joe Efton was actually featured this summer in Stock Car and our Circle Track in Racing Technology magazine. Him and Ron Koch, his partner in the number 11 car, you know, they get out there, they keep the cars clean, they do a good job. You know, kind of tough to run up front with these guys, but they actually did a nice big article about how they work on these cars and take them to the racetrack every Saturday. Kind of, you know, just a local, little local expose, if you will. It was really nice.
You know, I didn't, to be honest with you, until it was brought up Monday, I didn't even know that Joe Efton was sick. I didn't know he had cancer, and kind of falls back to the Hugh Hayes thing. I didn't know.
Yeah.
These guys kind of kept it quiet amongst themselves, and I know somebody told you Saturday night you want to mention him in the prayer, and they asked you not to, and it's a tough loss for the racetrack. It's a tough loss for the racing community, and like I said, anytime somebody gets hurt or somebody we lose one, it's always a hard thing. This guy was if you raced against him, you didn't have to worry about him rubbing on you. If he outran you, he always had a smile on his face. He didn't come to you and say, "Hey, man, I got you this time." He was a great guy. Not only was he a great racer, but he was a great supporter of the racetrack, too. And like I said, he'll be dearly missed at Volusia Speedway Park.
There is no doubt. Joe Efton, certainly in our prayers, and, of course, the entire the Efton family. So you can pay your respects tomorrow from 5:30 to 9 at Loffman Funeral Home on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach.
I'll tell you something, too. I had a guy walk up to me Friday night, grab me on the shoulder. I spun around. It was Sean Pollock. He was at Ocala Speedway Friday. Everybody knows that, you know, Sean.
Oh, you didn't tell me that. Oh, Sean.
Sean was at a bad crash at Putnam County Speedway earlier in the year, and he looked really good, man. And at the driver's meeting, I brought it up that he was at the race. I don't know if I'm sure he's been back to Putnam since he had the wreck, but I was glad to see Sean. And then I say that because he called me today. He's looking for a car. He's going to get back in the racing next year. So
wow. Can't keep him down, man.
You know, it's tough to keep
him
down.
He's still young, though. He's still young. And along these lines, let's certainly continue to pray for Mike Corcoran.
Oh, yeah.
His lovely sister Susan, of course, Pamela, everybody, the whole Corcoran family. Mike does show great signs of improvement day by day. He certainly knows who is there when you're there. So let's just continue to keep Mike in our thoughts. Just really been a difficult postseason, if you will. It's been difficult here the later part of 2008 with the just a lot of tragedy surrounding motorsports here locally.
Well, I think, you know, the season's over now. We're done. We got some champions in the books. We got a fun deal on Saturday. Had a different winner in each class. I was kind of hoping to see Eddie Johnson get the win in the mini stock, but Rob Underwood said he just wasn't going to be put down.
And, what a race.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Let's take a minute here. And Rob Underwood drove Nick Kerr's number 75 car, and Eddie Johnson drove Dan Kerr's number 73. And, of course, this was a non-winners event. These are drivers that have not yet won a feature in that respective division in 2008. Buddy, it was neck and neck, lap for lap. And BJ, he is checking in with us tonight. He saw this, an amazing race. And I told Dan Kerr, I've never even seen you and your son drive like that. So, I mean, it was really awesome to see Rob get that win.
It was a neat night, man. It was we had the V8 Thunderstocks for the first time. Even though we only had six, they had a great time. I think four of them took the green. Friday night, I'm walking around Ocala, and Courtney Eubanks came up and heard Mike, and Mike says, "I don't know, Billy. She's wound up." And I said, "Well, maybe tonight she's going to get a win." He goes, "No, she's looking at tomorrow. She's always won the race at Volusia Speedway Park, and now tomorrow she's going to get her chance." And then when they rolled out to take the green, the starter stayed engaged and hung up on her. And she never got to take it. She come rolling out lap 8. I came on the radio and said, "Hey guys, let her make a lap because she's been looking forward to this all week."
Yeah.
So it was pretty neat. The Erickson brought their 66 car over, which lost the rear axle over Friday night and picked up the big win. You know, it's just one of them nights where it was fun. We got done a little bit after 10. We all had a great time, and now we wind down a little bit.
That's exactly right. Take a couple of weeks off and visit some other racetracks. Of course, you talked about the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series, the Kim Allen Memorial at Clewiston Hendry County Speedway.
And while you're on that, if you guys are interested in buying these advanced sales tickets at $10, you can email us at dirtworldshow@yahoo.com. I'll get in touch with you. Email me your phone number. I'll hook you up with whoever you need to get down on that list. That's a great deal, $10 in advance or $25 at the gate. Hey, you save $15. If two of you go, you save $30. That gets you gas down there, I'm
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
It won't get you gas in my truck, but it might get you in a little car. But yeah, that's a great saving for him, man.
Hey, Jimbo, checking in. Want to say hello to him. Thank you so much for
Jimbo.
In the Florida Flagstaff chat room. It's really a pleasure having you guys listen. Talk a little national stuff real quick, or regional, if you will, before we go to the break. We've got just about a minute before we get our first guest on. But Sugar Shane Clanton,
man.
Locust Grove, Georgia. The news came down to Florida here last week. And we weren't quite sure, but then, of course, it was confirmed two wins in a row, back-to-back.
Everybody knows at the beginning of the year I made a trip to a little town called Crossville, Tennessee. Went up to with a couple friends to purchase a racetrack. And nice place. I mean, really nice facility. Had a few problems here and there, and some of the problems is what turned us around. But that place was actually sold 2 weeks ago to a local businessman, and he's got the place turned around, and they paid $6,000 to win Saturday night. They had some.
Oh, wait a minute, Billy. Back up.
Southern Regional Racing Series Friday night and Saturday night. They ran Friday night at Boyd's and Saturday night at Crossville, and Shane Clanton won them both.
How much did they actually pay for the racetrack? Because he stole that place, didn't he?
I was told it was a little under $300,000.
Good Lord. What a deal. Unbelievable.
If they'd have called me a little under $300,000, that's where I'd be.
I think we could have scraped that up.
Oh, yeah. That tomorrow I had that money.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
But, yeah, I mean, Shane, you talk about Shane Clanton. He has been on a roll. And I'll tell you a secret. I talked to a guy from Rocket, and he was telling me that they hit on something. They hit on it early in the year. And that's, if you remember, Josh Richards has won one here down the stretch, too. Josh Richards and Shane Clanton have both been on tears. Rocket said they hit on something. Man, this might be tough for these guys.
Yeah, that is cool. And you know what happens when these guys, find something, he could carry that momentum certainly throughout the remainder of the 2008 season with the World of Outlaws late models. With that, we're going to step back, Billy, just for a moment, take a quick pit stop, get our first caller, Danny Lund, on the line when we return with more Dirt World.
This is Shaw Smith, driver of the 17 SS Dirt Late Model, Central Sheds and Trailers Champion for 2007, and you're listening to Inside Florida Racing.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Dirt World, you're one of the best. You've got them four abreast, often imitated, never duplicated. The greatest show on dirt, the Advanced Auto Parts World of Outlaws.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. Don't miss your chance to be a part of auto racing history. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series offers fast and exciting dirt late model racing throughout Florida, Georgia, and Alabama in 2008. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series is coming to a track near you soon. Check it out. UnitedDirtLateModels.com. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Sponsored by Central Mobile Homes Incorporated and Central Sheds and Trailers. Homes America.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. And we're back live with Dirt World.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Thank you, Jack. And as promised, on the line with my good friend Billy the Kid, I'm Joe Dirt. We have got I said Danny Lund. He, of course, is the Force Zone
champion.
He'll
be next.
He will be next, but right now, certainly a pleasure to have this young man checking in out of DeLand, Florida, picking up his, Alan, correct me if I'm wrong, first UMP Dirt Car Stock Championship. See, I got you way up on the pedestal.
Driver, yeah, I like yours.
Driver of the Bright House Networks, number 15, did it in fine fashion this season out of Volusia, Alan Peacock. Alan, thanks for being with us, buddy.
Oh, good to be there.
Alan, and I'll tell you, man, you know, I don't know why. I mean, I've been watching you for so many years out there, and I've seen the success. I've seen the good times, the bad times, and you've been so close to championships. At what point in the season did you commit yourself to racing for this championship? It was pretty late in the season, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, pretty much. I mean, I started out the year just, you know, going to run some different tracks and stuff like that, you know, try something different. And then the next thing you know, you're like second or third in points, and you're like, well, let me hang with it and see what happens. And then a couple other guys had trouble and left me in the front there. So
the story of the season, yeah, no doubt. The story of the season has been that racetrack, Alan. I mean, like I said, been watching you for several years. You know what it's like out at that track. You've seen it at its best and, unfortunately, at its worst. But I think the big issue with all drivers in every division was just trying to keep parts on the race car and not because of contact with other cars. Is that correct?
Yeah. It's I'll tell you what, this year has probably been the one of the funnest years I've had up there. I mean, the track was well maintained, and the staff was great, and Tanya did a great job up there. So, you know, it was a really, really fun year.
Billy, explain to him where I was going with that.
He was trying to get you to talk about the weeks that it was rough for everybody, the weeks that...
Oh, heck, it's a dirt track, man.
Like I told him, if you put a couple ruts in it, it builds character.
Absolutely. I don't mind a little rough one. You know, you don't like tearing up your cars, but hey.
I tell this story to everybody. One time during Dirt Car Nationals, I went up to a driver and I said, well, racetrack was a little rough tonight. You know what he said? Anybody could just drive around in a circle.
That's absolutely correct.
You know who that was?
Who?
Steve Kinzer.
Yeah. You know, you figure if there's ruts and holes out there, you know, somebody might hit one and you get bombed, or you might hit one. It just, you know, that's part of it. You know, that's good dirt track racing. That's
make
no
a driver out of you.
Yes, sir.
No doubt.
Man, what an awesome year you had. I mean, a few wins here and there. You picked up the championship, and this week you turned the wheel over to young Frankie Taylor, and he didn't do too bad till the last lap, and he drove away from that deal. So, man, what a great year you had, and a great race car. I saw for sale sign on the rear quarter panel of it this week. And, you know, talk about the year and talk about what you got going on for next season. What's up next for you, bud?
Well, right now we're taking the motor out of the car that Frankie just drove, and actually I think we're going to put it back in the Monte Carlo that I ran 2 years ago. We got that all fixed up, and we're going to try that, or maybe sell it and try to get a Sportsman. I'm really wanting to try a Sportsman here coming up, so we're going to see if that works out or not. But, yeah, it was a great year. Had a bunch of help from Frankie Taylor and Casey Watson and Pat Tolby, you know, a bunch of guys. We all got together and helped each other out, and it was a lot better than trying to do it by yourself.
That's right. Cool. You developed those relationships with Frankie, who's not racing with us full-time, as well as Pat Tolby selling his equipment a season or two ago. And, you know, you're able to develop those relationships, and these guys come out, and they're critical components to you winning this championship.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like you say, mid-season, you know, we were just struggling along, and then Casey, you know, we started hanging out and coming over to the shop, and next thing you know, we're trying this and trying that. Put all our knowledge together, which isn't much, but it seemed to help, and my car started running better than his, and I think this year we're going to try to get, you know, Frankie's going to try to get a car back, and we might all three be out there running, hopefully.
You know, you talk about that. Your car and Casey's car should almost be similar. They are the same types of cars, but I know there's different driving, different styles for different drivers. But, you know, I noticed that Casey's car seemed to get a little better, and as much as you guys work together, is it true that you guys could feed off each other or no?
Oh, sure. I actually used a lot of stuff he was using. I mean, his car is a lot newer than the one I was driving, but he's got some good equipment under it, and he's, you know, he's just learning the driving and all that. He came from go-karts, I guess, and
right.
And he's doing a good job. You know, he's just trying to work out some issues with the motor and stuff like that, but I think next year he'll do a good job.
Right. they are a superb group of guys. Casey, I know his first win's right around the corner for him. I know he was hoping he'd get it this past week, but he's learning a lot. I mean, I know they learn a lot from you and from the guys that run around there together. And it's good to see Frankie back with you. It's good to see Frankie out there. Miss Frankie and that old Monte Carlo he had. I remember when he first came out there and the old white Monte Carlo. But good to get everybody back, and I think that's
Go ahead, Al.
No, go ahead.
Now we're talking to Alan Peacock, driver of the number 15 Bright House Networks UMP
Street Stock
Dirt Car Street Stock and 2008 champion with us on the line. If you'd like to email a question to our good friend Mr. Peacock, certainly do that at dirtworldshow@yahoo.com, and Stick will gladly answer any questions. dirtworldshow@yahoo.com.
You know, Stick, we keep talking about Bright House helping you. Who else helps you out on that car, bud?
Well, this year it was Bright House, let's see, Shane Williams, Dirty Boy Race Cars, helped out quite a bit. And, Kevin down at DeLand Auto Parts did a little motor work and stuff, so he always helps out, comes over and tunes on it and stuff. And like I say, Shane Williams really helps all of us. He comes over all hours of the day and night whenever you ask, and sometimes when you don't even ask, he'll show up and check on you and make sure you're doing things right.
It's hard to find him out there like Shane, isn't it?
Oh, he's unbelievable. Really is. I wish he could get him a good late model ride. And
I think I could outrun him on foot. I think I could.
Maybe on foot, but not behind the wheel.
Yeah. Alan, it was a few years ago, the crash that had you questioning your local racing career, and you actually took a season off, and then all of a sudden put a new ride together, and there you were. And you can imagine just how excited we all were as employees of the racetrack to see you back there, because we feel you're a fixture. But, talk about that crash and just what goes through a driver's mind when he actually questions, if he wants to get back into racing. You obviously, you made the decision to come back.
Yeah, that, for me, that really, I felt bad. Eric Nelson got hurt pretty bad in that deal, and, I just felt like it wasn't much I could have done different to make that not happen. But, I never really wanted to stop. It's just, pretty much didn't have a car and the money and had to save up a little bit and come back and try it again. But, I'm not ready to quit yet.
and it shows, let me tell you, man, each and every Saturday night now, of course, picking up this championship, it says a lot. And, you talk to different drivers in the work area, and certainly drivers that don't race there very often. It's somewhat, there's a level of prestige to picking up a win, let alone a championship at the Volusia Speedway Park. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Like I say, I've never won one before, and it feels great, and I had a lot of people congratulate me and stuff. It really, it's been a long time coming, I guess 8 or 9 years, and always something seemed to happen towards the end of the year, either, whatever, mechanical stuff or whatever,
but we held
on to it this year. Yeah.
You say it's all new to you, man, but your dad is a former track champion, correct?
Yeah. I think a few times back in the 80s,
You had to be growing up amongst that deal, so for the fact for dad to win one and now for you to win one, I mean.
Yeah, I thought about that, actually. I sure did.
I bet your dad's just as proud of you as you are.
Yeah, I think so. He won't say it too much, but I think he is.
He never does tell you. He won't tell you.
No, I think he knows
he's proud.
Alan, is he at the racetrack with you on Saturday?
Well, no, he's been having some health issues, and he hasn't. I think he's only been out a couple times this whole year, and none in the last few months. But he usually calls me on Sunday morning to see how I did.
Good deal. That's what it's about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Alan, I tell you, man, just a pleasure to have you on here tonight, and we certainly look forward to many more appearances from you. And I can't wait till December when we walk across stage or watch you walk across stage at Daytona International Speedway. That's all going to hit home right then for you.
Oh, yeah, that's looking forward to it. We're going to have a full table, I think.
Very well. From DeLand, Florida, the 2008 UMP Dirt Car Street Stock Champion. Ladies and gentlemen, it was our pleasure to have the driver, the number 15, Alan Peacock, on Dirt World tonight. Thank you, Alan.
Congratulations.
All right. Hey, thank you all for having me.
All right, my man.
All right, we'll see you.
All right.
A true champion right there, Alan Peacock. Had a great season in his street stock. And it makes me sad to know that his dad's a little under the weather. And I know we hadn't seen him out there in a little bit, but, we don't get to see who's in the pits every week. And I hope JT gets better. He's a great guy. He's been around racing a long time. And if you ever want to sit down and talk about racing, sit down and talk with him. He'll let you understand what happened in the old days.
Yes, he sure will, man, especially at that racetrack.
I remember one time somebody got in an argument about when the track was built, and he said it right to the date. How big the track was, who built it, who made the first lap there.
Yeah, he was a late model champion, wasn't he?
Yeah, I believe
he was. Yes,
J.T. Peacock.
Yep. So congratulations once again to Alan Peacock in joining us here on Dirt World tonight. I'll tell you what, it is 8 o'clock. We have got to step back, and we will now, promised, Danny Lund. He'll be on the line, and then after Danny Lund, we'll talk to Charlie Stats, and still, perhaps an appearance from Mr. Showtime, Sean. We'll be right back.
Purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and a new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman. On the web at thebrakeman.com.
No matter what, get out and see some dirt racing. Get some dirt on your face.
Get some dirt on your dog.
Yeah, dirt on your dog.
Absolutely. With Billy the Kid, my name is Joe Dirt. Dirt World on RealRacingUSA.com.
Hi, I'm Don O'Neill, driver of the number 71 race car, and you are listening to the Real Racing USA.
Welcome back. We're going to take you back to the studio with Joe Dirt, Billy the Kid.
Thank you so much, Jack Smith, and it is a pleasure to be back on board with you on RealRacingUSA.com. If you want to be a part of the program, it's simple, folks. It is DirtWorldShow@Yahoo.com. That's DirtWorldShow@Yahoo.com. As always, my good friend across the table, Billy the Kid, I'm Joe Dirt, and as promised, we've got the 2008 UMP four-cylinder Aerotech Aluminum Champion on the phone with us from Umatilla, Florida, Danny Lund. Danny, good evening, sir.
Good evening. How are we doing tonight?
Wonderful, Danny. I tell you, it's been a pleasure in Victory Lane. The top three go to a podium finish in the Aerotech Aluminum four-cylinders, and it's always been a pleasure talking to you this season, trying to get to know you a little bit better. But before we came back on the air, very interesting part of your young racing career, and we'll get into that in a minute, but let's talk about this championship, man. Did you have any idea that this would be accomplished when you began racing for Dan Kerr this year?
Actually, I really, at first I said I wanted to win it, and I was the underdog in our team, because I always talked myself up, hey, oh, I can do that all day long, and then everybody kind of blew me off, and then I stayed right there, and then everybody caught on, like, uh-oh, you know, this kid knows something, you know, here I am catching up with everybody, you know, Tim Scholl, my other teammate, you know, we have disagreements, but I mean, you know, it's part of racing and stuff, and, you know, he's ran faster cars, and this is... Last year, I ran Nick Kerr's old Cavalier, number 75. I ran that one or two times, and that's all I've ever done, circle track.
Wow.
I've never done this. I hate to say this because people get mad. I used to make fun of it because I'm like, why does everybody want to go in a circle and they're doing 80 miles an hour?
Right.
I'm looking at my dragster right now.
Nice.
I built 3 years ago. I've never drag raced in my life. That's what I've always wanted to do. And it's sitting on blocks and jack stands and stuff. Now I'm hooked on circle track.
Well, I would be, too. I mean, you burned him up this year. And, you know, a lot of people don't know Tim Scholl, your teammate. You know, it's clear he won a lot more races than you, but you've picked up the championship, obviously. But Tim Scholl's an asphalt driver. This is his first season on dirt as well.
Oh, yeah. He's raced. I've talked to him a little bit in the pits. I mean, I'd say we don't really talk that much.
That's interesting.
Yeah, we, you know, it's kind of civil, I guess you could say, because Dan's, you know, he's real competitive. I'm real friendly. I mean, after the race, I want to talk to somebody. Hey, how was your car doing? How was mine? You know, I talked to Casey a couple times. I ain't cut down on you, you know. I'm just finding out. I mean, I went probably four races, and I didn't even know what half the flags were. I'm like, what's this one? You know, every time I go there, they have to tell me what a flag is. You know, when you see green, that means go. Yellow, that means stop. Red means completely stop. I'm like, okay. They said, do not get the blue or the black. I said, no problem.
And I actually thought we were going to have to pull information out of you, Danny. Boy, was I wrong, man. Great interview so far.
Awesome.
But it's just been amazing watching you out there. And it's an interesting dynamic that you guys share with Dan Kerr. And like you said, there's some common ground there. Dan, of course, owning these race cars, a very successful business owner in Lake County in his own right, and certainly a very successful race car driver out there as well. And, you know, it's so interesting, the dynamic that you guys share with you and Tim Scholl. And it's true, you don't really talk a whole lot. And we didn't see a lot of contact between you guys this season, but there was a little bit of rubbing out there. And, you know, Tim always got out with a smile, and so did you.
Yeah, it's, you know, we try to, you know, I don't want to go out with a bad attitude. You know, if somebody spins me out, I mean, you know, that's part of racing. Rubbing is racing. You know, that's what I figured out with this, you know, with dirt. And, you know, I've gone through the videos, and I found out, actually, like halfway through the season, I can get the same videos everybody else has. And, you know, I go through and see the one time Tim broke, and, you know, I'm checking everything out and see if I came up and hit him. I feel real bad if, you know, something like that happens. I'm super apologetic. You know, I'm out there for fun. And then all of a sudden, you know, championship being presented to me, and now it's getting real competitive. So towards the end, I kind of started staying by myself. It seemed like, everybody wasn't as friendly towards me as soon as I started wrapping up the championship.
Yeah, that's the way it works. They're your friend till you outrun them.
Exactly.
You know, talking about this situation, tell us how you got hooked up with Dan. Dan is one of the guys around the track that has 5, 6, 7 race cars. He's not afraid to have anybody race them, and he's just one of the great guys around the pit. Tell us how you got hooked up with, coming from the drag racing side and the motorcycle racing. How did your affiliation become with you and Dan Kerr?
I've known Dan probably 3 years or so, but I've known his brother Joe Kerr.
Okay,
I've known him. I mean, years and years, since I was probably 13 years old when they had a restaurant. And I used to go up there and eat all the time, and he let me come in the back, make my own food and all that. And then I kind of, once I got older, started my own businesses and stuff. I need tires, or, you know, I have dogs. I started getting feed, and kind of, I saw the race cars, and I've been into it since, you know, I could walk, basically. I've been in the cars, saw the race cars, and just started talking to them. And my girlfriend works for them. You know, she works, you know, a couple days a week for them, so that kind of got me in the door, I guess you could say.
Okay, well, that's a start.
Well, you know, off air we were talking about some of the other motorsports ventures from, of course, being from the New England area up in Massachusetts. And first of all, let me just say sorry about your Patriots. But
oh no, I was born and raised down here.
Sorry about your Red Sox.
Hey, my mom got me stuck up there for a little while. So,
okay. But you talked about you were in hill climbing and you know, motorcycle hill climbing. That is some cool stuff, man. I've never seen one live. Watched a lot of it on television, but buddy, you got to pretty much carry them around in a wheelbarrow to be able to do that.
Yeah, I never thought I'd get into it. And I started off with a CR250, and everything I've done is, you know, homemade. I've always been on a budget and stuff like that. And we stretched a swing arm and threw a paddle tire on it. And everybody else up there, they're like, dude, it kind of, I was the one that started it, was, you know, I can make it up that hill and, you know, and go for it. And, you know, sometimes make it, sometimes not. And then we started, you know, trying to get something organized up there where, and then everybody bought into it, I guess you could say, and I did pretty good until about, I guess you could say, our little season that we had, and I took a spill. I went from the top all the way down the bike. My leg got hooked, and I got tore up from there, and they said I wasn't going to walk for 2 years, so I had to get out of it. And but believe it or not, they said I couldn't walk for 2 years, and it was probably 4 months later I was back on my CR, and I was riding again.
Danny, you are an awesome dude, man. You really are. Really getting us in a lot of good insight about your past and your history.
Well, you talk about, earlier this afternoon when I talked to you on the phone, you were talking about next year. Sounds to me like you got everything in line for next year already. Sounds to me like you're going to move up to the new V8 Thunderstock class, and that shouldn't be bad at all for you.
Yeah, I thought that would be fun. I mean, you know, I was glad And there's been rumors that I wasn't allowed to race four cylinders anymore because I won the championship, and you know this. I just want to get out there and race. I don't care
what rumors get started, right?
Yeah, and that's I think it'd be fun to run. You know, I think it's going to be different because a front wheel drive to me, I mean, I say it's kind of easy. You know, I like to see what I can. That would show my racing abilities is getting a rear wheel drive car.
So you already bought a car? You're looking at a car?
Looking at a car. It's just up to me, basically. Actually, it's up to the girlfriend, but.
Danny, what kind of business do you own, my friend?
Construction company.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Residential housing or?
Well, mainly I do property cleanups.
Okay.
I do stuff for the forestry. I go in and do a lot of demos, remodeling, pool cages, stuff like that.
Nice. And that seems to be keeping you busy with the economy.
Yeah, I'm staying slammed, and believe it or not, and we have the little outpost in Umatilla. That's all I have for an ad. I have no ads around, and, I mean, I stay slammed with work. I do the, you know, word-of-mouth reputation, and it's been doing, you know, awesome for me. And what's neat is that's the only reason I advertise in the outpost is every customer that calls me, you're the one that races? I saw your picture in there. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's me. You know, that kind of helps out, too. And then they, you know, it's a local town around here, so everybody, I see him racing, and he has a business, so... Let's give him a shot.
Man, that is something else. That is cool. It is a hometown there, and you're around competitors, you know, in different classes. You've got them within, I'll bet you've got 10 different race car drivers within 3 miles.
Oh, yeah.
Easily.
Yeah, Rodney, he lives not too far from us.
Brady Christian is right down the road. You got Mark Maresca, downtown Altoona. And
yep.
Of course, Dan Kerr, Charlie Stats, Travis Stats. You know, who else? Tommy Saunders and on.
Yeah, it's real competitive around, you know, in Umatilla. There's a lot of people, and, you know, with Charlie and Travis and Dan, you know, I was actually planning on going to Mini Stock next year. We have quite a few chassis sitting around, well, Dan does, and I was going to buy a chassis off him, get my motor built, but seeing all that, I guess you could say, drama in it, and the same as Eddie, he kind of, you know, everybody wants to back away because we're still friends. I can go talk to Dan, and then I have, you know, I go over there and have Travis and them fix, you know, one of my vehicles if it needs to be done.
See, that's good, man. I mean, you're on common ground with all these guys despite the situations that they have at the racetrack.
Yeah, that's, you know, when we're done racing, you know, I want to talk about, hey, how was that? I mean, if I cut down on you, I didn't mean to.
Sure, sure.
And stuff like that, and I guess, you know, the older you get, they hold grudges. And
hey,
that's a whole different radio program, bud. Like a Dr. Phil program,
yeah.
But
yeah.
When we do leave you tonight, I want you to tune in, if you can, to RealRacingUSA.com or DirtWorldRacing.com, and we're going to have Charlie Stats on, and, of course, the Mini Stock Champion, and we're going to kind of lay some things out and ask him the tough questions. And Charlie, you know, he knows Billy and I well enough that he has no problem answering the questions that we throw his way, so I think you may get a whole other insight if you're able to listen.
Yeah, as soon as I got the phone call from Billy, I mean, I called everybody. Everybody I knew that had a computer, I was like, you got to be on here. You got to check this out. And I got my girlfriend. She's on there right now. And, you know, I try
to
get...
Remember, if they don't get to listen to it tonight, Danny, it will be archived. They can listen to it later this week. You can always get on and download it, man.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, my mom, she's been, as soon as, when I first got into it, you know, I'm only 25, so my mom's still a big part of my life, I guess you could say. And
all with that, buddy.
Nothing at all.
And, you know, she's been into it almost more than I have. I mean, when I get, she takes probably 100 pictures of my car while I'm out there racing. And she has them printed out. She makes all kinds of things. So, and I'm sure she's listening. She gets a kick out of it. She likes to see, you know.
We got a couple more minutes here with this young man that picked up the UMP four-cylinder championship. Of course, Danny Lund on the line with us. And if you got a question for Danny, we got a couple of more minutes here. DirtWorldShow@yahoo.com. That's DirtWorldShow@yahoo.com.
Yeah, the what happens here, Danny, is they archive the show, and people will call you tomorrow and say, I didn't get to listen, I couldn't find it. Well, you get them to it, and then they can listen to it anytime they want or play it as many times over and over they want. But, you know, anytime that it's like a last-minute thing, I mean, I didn't see you at the track this week. I was going to try to get in touch with you so we could have you on. But, you know, this past year was a huge success for you. I know in the beginning everybody had to think that Tim Scholl was the one to lay the claim down on the championship, but week in and week out, you ran door handle with him, you outran him, you fought with him, not fighting as in
yeah,
fighting, but as in door to door, wheel to wheel, touching each other. And, I mean, to come out the victor or the champion over what everybody thought was going to be a walkaway, it's got to feel awesome, man.
Oh, I get chills thinking about it. I mean, I had some upset as I went through tires. I went through tires a bunch, and I used to joke around about that with Dan. Is, you know, you're a tire guy, and my tires are blown out on me.
And, what's going on?
Well, the first time I raced it, nobody could tell me. I was like, what gear do I run? You know, how do I do this? And, you know, just tell me, put me in it. I know how to handle the car. Just what gear should I run? I put it in second gear. I led the race, and I blew the motor. I actually had Travis and Charlie. They worked until like 12 o'clock at night on a Friday, putting a brand new motor and everything from the junkyard in it. And I was racing again, you know, Saturday. I went through, a lot of troubles, and actually, I think the last couple of races, my motor's been smoking kind of healthy.
Yeah, I noticed it was smoking a little bit Saturday night.
Yeah, it's...
She probably needs a tune-up, don't?
Freshen up. Probably. I mean, well, see, that's... during the week, I go
through... Could have been worse. I saw a couple of them mini stocks go up and...
Yes,
boom!
Yes, oh, down on a 301, there's a junkyard down there, and they have 60,000-mile motors for $500, and I had one on stand.
What's that junkyard, Billy?
Cookies junkyard,
yeah,
isn't
Cookies,
yep. Yeah, Cookies. I talked to him Sunday at, Webster or Reniger's Flea Market down there, and he brought his car down to car show, and one of my cars couldn't make it down there. But, you know, it's been a blast all year. I like, you know, all the fans that came out. It's awesome. I mean, it's like, you know, it's something I've always wanted to do, and I've just never, you know, went for it.
Well, you pretty much got us to where we was about to take you. Tell us who helped you get to where you are this year, what fans you thank the most, and your sponsors, and everybody.
Well, I mean, Dan, I like to thank him right off the bat, you know, because he put me in the car, and he helped me out whatever I can. Everybody works for him. I mean, we've stayed out there. Nick, we've stayed out until 10, 11 o'clock at night. Jeremy. Napa, they've helped me out greatly. That's where I've been getting all my parts. I call Sean up, and, you know, here to have all my parts ready to go and deliver them to the shop. Yep. Commercial Tire, you know, they actually helped me out on my truck, my big rig, one ton that I try to drive. And Ed's Crane Service, you know, he's helped me out, and he's running mini stock, and, you know, I've tried to help him out as much as possible. And everybody, all the fans, you know, I can't pick out one, but, you know, all of them that came out, I like to thank everybody.
Well, I'll tell you what, Danny, it was a pleasure watching you, a pleasure announcing, and certainly I enjoyed Victory Lane every time you get out of that race car with the top three, and the hard work paid off, and just what an accomplishment for your first season in dirt racing, man.
I think you got chill bumps now. Wait till December
6th. That's right. Walking across stage at Daytona International
in front of everybody.
Man.
Yeah. Actually, I talked to the guy that runs, he's like the head of security. I did a job for him the other day. I did a pool cage, and we were talking about it. He was like, yeah, I'm head of security on the whole. I can't remember the guy's name. That's not good. But, I'm excited about that. You know, I've told everybody. I think I spent quite a few dollars on buying tickets.
Well, wear your best Resist All jeans and your Tony Lamas, baby, and put your hat on because it's on in December.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. I can't wait for next year. I'm ready to go again. I almost had second doubts where I wasn't going to do it, and then I start messing with the dragster again, and I've never made a pass, and there's 10 times more money sitting in that car right there, and it looks good sitting underneath the carport.
Yeah.
I like getting out there, getting sideways, you know. And
absolutely.
In 9 seconds, drag racing is done. That's all you get.
That's exactly right. What kind of drag car you got, Danny, while we got you?
87 Monte Carlo.
I think a good hobby stock car.
I've already thought about it, but everybody, Jeremy, everybody's talked me out of it. Travis, everybody, don't do that, because, I mean, it's a beautiful car.
Is it a big block, Danny?
No, I'm running small block. Small block 400. I've always, you know, I've always liked small blocks.
You get her in the 10s, or is that a little lofty?
It should run high 9s. There's a computer program where you type in everything that it's done.
Right.
I built the car, believe it or not, I was going to do that pink haul out, or title for title, the whole 9 yards.
Yeah, man.
And I had the car ready to go, sitting on a trailer, and you have to apply online, and they want to put me against a comp car, you know, $30,000 comp car, and I'm like, there's no way.
Yeah.
I felt intimidated where I couldn't do it. And I started going out there, and now I'm hooked on dirt track.
And, Danny, you don't run any gas in that thing?
No, it's all alcohol.
Oh, okay. No nitro, though?
No.
Nitrous?
That's all right off alcohol.
Yeah, nitrous is what's in that little blue car.
I know, I need that. Some of them cars, them Cavaliers, they give me a hard time this year. Because I watch the videos, and even when racing, I mean, I could go through the corners, you know, perfect. Sure. Car would set, and when it comes to straightaways, those cars pull away. You know, they got, you know, a little bit bigger motors. They're running 2.2s and 2.4s and stuff. I'm running 2.0. And they'd pull away, and it drove me nuts. And one about halfway through the season, I found out if I took the car up on the high side, I could run faster. I didn't blow any tires, and I ran faster because I could keep my RPMs up. I wasn't bogging motor when I was coming out of the corner. And, you know, Nick, everybody's giving me pointers. I'm a little stubborn for a while. I wouldn't listen, and then finally I was like, you know, I'll bring it up high. And that's when I started doing really good. I was, oh, now I got something, you know, where I could keep up with them Cavaliers.
Nice. Nice. And, Lon, I tell you, man, and it was really cool to watch you develop your racing style out there with us, and you progressively got better. I mean, you're on the plus side, and you went the right direction, and gives you a lot of momentum for next season.
Yeah, I can't wait. I mean, I got a big head. I wanted to go to the open wheel modified, but I think I'm a little intimidated.
Oh, now slow
like
down
that.
Now. Whoa.
I just get a little carried away there, Hot Rod.
Yeah, I get a little jump the gun a little
bit. Get yourself a late model. You got one set underneath your carport there, bud.
I know.
Danny Lund, we've got a couple of more guests, and I tell you, you've been just wonderful to have on the line and give us a lot of good insight about your racing career and what you're all about, man. And it was really a pleasure having you on Dirt World tonight.
That's, I thank everybody, you know. And hopefully, you know, we have a good season next year. If not, we're going to have a lot of fun, that's for sure.
Absolutely. So, Danny Lund, thank you very much, man.
Thank you, and I'll be tuning in. I'm on my way to computer right now.
All right, my man.
Congratulations again, buddy.
All right, thank you. See you guys next week.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye. Danny Lund, he's already ready to come back and race next week. You heard it just now.
He told me on the phone this afternoon he's looking to get himself a V8 bomber, which would be a good thing. And, you know, I was going to tell him I was going to promote a little bit and say, we're going to run V8 bombers till the 21st of November, bud.
Yeah, buddy.
Go ahead and get you one and head over to Ocala and race with it. You know, What an awesome young guy, and what an awesome job 3 years in a row by Kerr Racing. You know, first Nick Kerr won the championship 2 years ago, and Dan Kerr last year, and now Danny Lund this year, and just goes to show you what kind of deal that Dan Kerr has going on. He's got a bunch of winning race cars, and he's got a bunch of winning people. I mean, listen to Danny talk. He ran one of the old square style Cavaliers back last year for him. And, you know, and we know that thing wasn't competitive, but he saw something. He gave the kid another shot. He put him in that little escort, and look what he got. He got another championship.
Yep.
So, you know, that just goes to tell you what the Kerr Racing is all about. And I'm sure they're going to be a handful next year in the mini stock class or whatever they might do. And just a good organization.
No doubt. Well, Terry Caton is able to log on, and he is successfully listening to the program after a little bit of difficulty.
Get a job, Terry Caton.
In his Palm Beach Gardens motel room.
Get a job.
And Jimbo checking in again and really enjoys hearing about the local guys. And when we come back.
Jimbo.
Yes, sir.
Jimbo, get a job.
When we come back for our final segment of Dirt World, still more local flavor for you with, of course, the UNP Mini Stock Champion out of Umatilla, drives the 5C Snap-on Tools number 9AR. It is Charlie.
The old timer.
That's right. Charlie, right back.
Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Underwear Inspector Number 12.
Mr. Underwear Inspector Number 12.
Whether it be tidy whiteys or banana hammocks, you're the one who makes sure our skivvies cut the mustard.
Riding high.
You make sure the door is fastened with secure seams so that the cow doesn't get out of the barn when it shouldn't.
Don't let it out.
Dedicating yourself to a craft others might poo-poo, you can pass every single man on the street and say with pride, you there, you're wearing my underpants.
Oh, yeah.
And no, I don't want them back. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Eagle Eyes, because we're all glad you've got your hands in our shorts. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. Don't miss your chance to be a part of auto racing history. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series offers fast and exciting dirt late model racing throughout Florida, Georgia, and Alabama in 2008. United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series is coming to a track near you soon. Check it out. UnitedDirtLateModels.com. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Sponsored by Central Mobile Homes Incorporated and Central Sheds and Trailers. Homes of America.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. Joe Dirt and Billy the Kid.
Hey, welcome back to Dirt World here for Wednesday night on RealRacingUSA.com. It's been a great show so far, highlighting the 2008 champions from Volusia Speedway Park. We had three for you last week, wrapping up this week with our final championship installment with three more champions. With Billy the Kid, I'm Joe Dirt, and as promised, the elder statesman of the mini stocks. He is elbows deep into this engine after having a failure Saturday night. We'll talk about that, but ladies and gentlemen, the driver of the 9AR 5C Snap-on Tools sponsored F-150 and the 2008 Mini Stock Champion, Charlie Statt. Charlie, how are you, sir?
Doing fine, Joe. How are you?
Wonderful. And again, I know your elbow's deep in that power plant trying to get this thing figured out. And it really means a lot that you spend some time with us tonight. We thank you.
Well, I appreciate you calling me, Joe. You know, we're trying to get ready for next season, so seeing what we got left and put something back together for next
Charlie, season. Let's recap this season real quick, and I know Billy's got a lot of things to talk about as well, but you and your son, as always, you come out here to race, and you go to Volusia, you know what you want to accomplish, that is win a championship, that is win races. You had some wonderful experiences you and your son this season, but when it came right down to the final night, the situation, Travis unable to race you for that championship. That had to be difficult, man.
Well, Joe, you know, I was really looking forward to it. We were like 9 points, 10 points difference between us, and racing for the championship, I was really wanting to, beat him. You know, I mean, you always want your kid to do better than you, but, you know, competition's competition, and that's where we were with it. And, you know, I was really looking forward to doing the last three or four races there and you know, really getting it like you're supposed to get it. And just, but it didn't happen. Maybe we'll get an opportunity to try it again next year.
Charlie, you're in a position out there that many fathers just dream about, being able to be involved in your son's life, you know, not only personally, but certainly in the racing level, to be able to be in the same division, you know, working on these race cars together and racing door to door and getting out, hugging each other. It's a family experience. And that right there, man, is a dream. And I can just see it on your face when you get out, whether you finish first or last, just how much you enjoyed it out there.
Well, Joe, definitely the most fun I've had on the racetrack is running side by side with Travis. There's no doubt about that. That's, you know, and you're exactly right. It doesn't matter. I mean, as a race car driver, a race car driver wants to win. That's what you're there for. And even racing against Travis, I want to win. But to run side by side on a dirt track is ultimate with your son. That's all I can. You know, there's just nothing I've ever experienced that made me feel the way that makes me feel.
You know, speaking from experience and starting from week one, what an awesome year you guys had, not just you yourself, but the whole Stats Racing organization and all the wins you guys picked up. Even through adversity, you still had an awesome year. 1 month, you and your son were co-racers of the month with each other, you know, for the Pandora Jurors. You know, just Charlie Stats, man, what an awesome year. And I know Joe calls you, I call you the old-timer. They can call you what they want to call you.
I'm politically correct. It's the elder statesman.
With you, Billy. They can call me what they want to call me.
the elder statesman, he calls you. I call you the old-timer, and there's no offense there, but the old-timer always seems to have the most knowledge. If you hear people talk about it all the time. you know what? You want to learn something, sit down and talk to an old-timer. Old-timers know how it was back in the old days and now these days. But Charlie Stats, I just want to tell you, man, what an awesome racing season you had. So how many wins did you have, bud?
I had six wins. Travis had eight. I had six. So, you know.
14 races. You guys
exactly.
Hold on. It's more than that because Tommy Saunders won the very last week, and he's out of your stable. So you won 15 out of maybe 20 races.
Right.
That's pretty damn good, my friend.
You know, Charlie, it's this wonderful accomplishment, and I'll be honest with you. We have to be unbiased, but I got news for you, my friend. I'm not, and I don't tell anybody that. But, you know, I'm rooting for anything black on that racetrack with an AR on it, and I'm going to tell you something. I know how difficult – well, wait a minute. I do not know how difficult it must have been to get out of that race car and know that you accomplished these wins and this performance with hard work, and it proves it tonight. It's, you know, 8:30. You're working on this race car. The season's over. It just proves the hard work you put in it. And then, you know, it's unfortunate that spectators, you know, seem to really get disappointed if the same guy wins all the time. That had to be difficult.
Well, it does. And you know, it's like in our league of racing, it's the same. Kyle Busch, he wins. No one likes him. I mean, no one likes to see the same winner all the time. And I understand that. Makes it a lot more interesting. I love it when three or four cars can run together, run up front. That's racing, side-by-side racing. In the race car, that's the greatest. When it's with your son, that's even better.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, side-by-side, and I, you know, to be honest about it, AR machine. I mean, those motors he builds, our competition's running it now, and, you know, I always had an advantage because I had an AR machine motor. It used to be exclusive. I was the only one that had
right,
it. Now,
right.
That made my job easy, but now I got to run against them. So, but that's great. You know, I mean, it makes for good close racing, and that's what racing's. That's the way racing's supposed to be. Dirt track racing is side by side, fender rubbing. That's the way it's supposed to be, and that's what makes it exciting to me as a driver.
Last year, Travis Stats, mini stock champ. This year, Charlie Stats, mini stock champ. Charlie, how many championships is that for you, bud?
This is the first one I've had, Billy.
Get out. All the years you've been racing.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
This is the first championship I've ever had. You know, it's an accomplishment. It's hard to do. The competition.
The competition in your shop makes it hard to do.
No, wait a minute. The competition in that city you live in.
within that block radius there.
Good Lord.
Exactly. You know, Dan and Nick are doing an awesome job. They got good cars. They got good power. They're doing an awesome job. I'm looking forward to racing with them next year. You know, I just equal playing field. That's what I look for. And let's go racing side by side. Man, I love it.
Let's dig into that whole issue just a little bit. We're not going to dance around it. You had your situations out there. Being a business owner in Umatilla, I brought it up so many times in Victory Lane because, I mean, I asked the tough question because I want to know, and I know the people want to know. They need to know what's going on. You guys had a little powwow on Monday night, and it sounds like you are on some common ground now.
We are. Now, you know, I expressed my opinion just exactly the way I felt and was honest with Wick. I want to race. And, you know, it's dirt track racing, so there's part of driving that you got to understand. You learn how to drive the car and get it around the racetrack. You also got to expect a little bumping on a dirt track, and you also got to learn how to hold on to your car once it's bumped because it's going to get bumped.
Yeah, but
and, you know, that's a different part of learning, and that's where we're at. You can't just, I mean, you got to expect to get, it's dirt. I mean, y'all know, you've been around a long time. It's dirt track racing, and there's bumping going on, and you got to expect it. You got to be ready for it.
Get respect, you got to give respect.
Exactly.
And I think that's a big common problem there, and I think there'll be a lot of respect handed out starting right this minute and moving on with that situation.
You know, Billy, not to interrupt you, but when I first started racing, the first thing I was taught, there's a pecking order when you go to the racetrack.
Yes, sir.
And you know, you got to respect that. You got, you know, you can have a fast car, but you got to earn the respect of the people that the other drivers that you're racing against. Before you can,
it don't matter if you have the fastest thing there. You got to drive it, but you still
got
to
drive it.
And
you know, I don't know. It's an addiction that racing is, and I love doing it. And I don't know. I say every year I'm going to quit, but I'm going to be back. I'm going to be back next year.
I've got a new motor right now. Hey, that was my next question. You had a four-wheeler incident, hurt some ribs late in the season.
All the adversity he'd been through.
Yeah. And also, you know, you guys were there when the Mike Corcoran accident, and there was some talk that, you know, I mean, you've always been a safety advocate. There's no doubt about it, Charlie. I mean, those cars that they're coming out of that stable are just ultimate, you know, safe vehicles. There's no doubt. We all know that. But did you guys actually question the fact that you were continue racing after seeing that incident?
Joe, no, I didn't, because I'll tell you why I didn't, because I've been through some pretty hard crashes.
I know you have.
And I know that if the car's built well and the car's built right, you're safe on a racetrack. But if the car, if your equipment is not built right, and you know, and to be honest with you, I think the cars need to be teched a little better for safety, not cutting the track or anything. But I mean, that's the safety issue should actually come before the legal issue. I really believe that safety issues should go on top. And you know, you get guys building pure stock cars, and they think, well, you know, it's a pure stock car. We're not going that fast.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you what, you hit that wall at 50 mile an hour out there, and you don't have the right equipment, you're hurt. So,
they all back, you know, assume it can't happen to them, Charlie. I'm not going fast enough for it to hurt me.
Right. But, you know, you take a crash on the highway at 50 mile an hour, it's serious. You hit something head on, and you hit that wall at 50 mile an hour. You better have the right safety equipment,
right.
And you know, even pure stocks, the cages and the safety equipment need to be looked at harder, because those are novice racers,
yeah.
And
novice builders
that think that this will hold when this really won't hold. They're not experienced enough to see what breaks.
I agree with you on the teching part. You know, I think one of the biggest problems that we have, and I will speak on this even though I'm not the tech man, sometimes these guys pull these cars in there, they park along the back straightaway there in the pit area, and they hide underneath the radar. Okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. You should walk around, or you could walk around, but, you know, I think a lot of guys nowadays should be, and I will tell you this, and this is what I told them, and I know that the driver's meeting, everybody hears when I tell you, do not cut corners because you want to just finish out the year. You wrecked last week. You know it's not safe. Okay, the cage is barely in, or this ain't right, or this ain't strapped in or something. But I only got 2 weeks to go. I just want to get through this championship. Is this championship worth your life? Is this championship worth you getting hurt?
There's nothing worth it. And you know, I, the problem is with accidents like that and things like that happen, it tells people that this is dangerous.
Yep.
Well, we keep this from happening. This is a safe sport,
right,
as long as you do it the way it's supposed to be doing. There's not. They want a car roll out of my shop if I don't feel like that I would drive this car. I don't care if it's a pure stock or what it is, or even one of my customers' vehicles. The same way, I would not let a car roll out of the shop that I would not feel safe driving.
Right. That's what I was saying. I was saying some of these guys do show up and. You know, don't get wrong, but when the pits gets packed, you can't see back there. Some people could roll in late. You really can't, you know, you can't see them. But, you know, that's all I'm saying. For the people that are listening, the race drivers are listening, don't be afraid to bring your car to the tech area. Don't be afraid to bring it up there and have it checked out. But
exactly.
You know, that's
you're not.
People have to understand that whole situation, you know. And I'm not saying that you're picking on. I'm just trying to shed a little light on it, too, and let people know, yeah, it's the tech man's responsibility, but it's also it's about a 50-50 shot here. It's your responsibility to bring it there and get it checked out, and it's his responsibility to check it out and make sure it's safe for you. Whether you think it's safe or not, it's his responsibility to say, load this thing up, it ain't safe. You know
right.
what I mean?
It is. I mean, ultimately, that's where it is. And you know, but you just got to look out for guys like that, because they are just starting to race, and they don't know.
When you start caring for them, they'll start caring for themselves. I remember earlier this year, kid shows up with a Cavalier, and I went up to him, and I've been watching the kid race on and off there, and he's a good kid. And I said to him, I said, dude, you ain't got no screen in front of you, you ain't got no bars in front of you. Well, can I race it tonight like that? I said, no, find yourself some chicken wire and put it in front of you. I don't understand. I said, listen, bud, a drive shaft could come off, come through that windshield there, and stab you in your heart.
Exactly.
And I said, you know who's going to feel bad is me. Not you, because you're the one that hauled it here like this, but I'm going to feel bad because I let you go with it. get yourself some chicken screen. That's what he did. They got him some chicken screen. They put it in the windshield. You know, and he raced. And people got to understand, you know, you might be the jerk. I might be the ass. Because
I might be the jerk, Billy. Come on now.
No, I'm saying me. You know what I'm saying. I'm saying I might be the jerk or I might be the ass because I'm down there trying to get you to be safe in your car. You know what I mean?
Exactly. But, you know, you got it. Somebody's got to look out for the guys. You know, I mean, we've had some hard crashes in our cars this year. And you know what? We've only replaced bolt-on parts, and that makes me feel good. Because,
I've seen you crash on the back straightaway and get out and stand on top of your car.
Exactly. And what we replace is bolt-on parts. It doesn't bend the frame of the chassis. So, you know, you build them stout,
Charlie, we've got an email bag here, and several listeners always check in with us, and I just want to convey this to you. A gentleman named Terry Caton did a lot of work with the National Late Model Series. He certainly knows dirt racing in and out. Traveled to Volusia Speedway Park several times this year, him and his lovely wife, Donna. And they're just checking in on the email. They wanted to congratulate you and, you know, just let you know what they used to call you. You were Mr. Bad Fast. That's what they called you in that number 9AR. But they wanted to congratulate you on the championship, Terry Caton and his wife, Donna.
Well, I appreciate it a bunch. And you saying that just makes the hair stand up on my back.
Does it really? That's cool.
I mean, it really does because that's why a race car driver brings a car to the racetrack.
Right.
If there were no fans, there would be no race car drivers.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what it's all about, you know.
Absolutely. Well, Charlie Stats, as always, it's such a pleasure to get inside of your head, and now as a champion, it was just really, really, really cool to talk to you tonight. And you taking time to be on Dirt World with Billy and I means so much to us, man. And, again, I look forward to a great night in December at Daytona with you.
Joe, I'll be there.
Right, buddy.
And I sure appreciate it. I appreciate y'all calling me, and I appreciate all.
Congratulations on a huge year and topping it off with a championship, Charlie Stats. Nobody deserves it more than you, man. And congratulations, bud.
All right, Billy. Thanks a bunch, buddy.
Thanks, Charlie. See you.
Y'all take care.
All right, man. Action Automotive is in Umatilla, right off U.S. 19. And if you want your car worked on and you're over in that area, Travis and Charlie are working owners, hands-on. They are the employees and the owners. That's the place to take your car, folks.
We said it before, a great group of guys there, a great group of people, not only there, but around that whole town. I mean, hey, listen, let me tell you something.
Terry Kane said there's something in the water. Hey, he said five of the top ten live in Umatilla.
Hey, let me tell you something, man.
I love him.
If you walk around Umatilla and you're just to be a champion in Umatilla.
Oh, man.
Hey, I mean, you know who used to be from Umatilla? Al Hoffman.
Al Hoffman, that's right.
Remember when he showed up at Gainesville and he had that picture of John Force on the side of his car?
Yes,
and John Force just cleaned his clock. I mean, there's something about them people out there that are so competitive, but, you know, let's face it. Again, Kerr's three championships in a row. Travis Stats, two in a row,
consecutive.
Right?
Consecutive, absolutely.
Now, this year, today, old-timer.
Yeah.
Old-timer, Charlie Stats picks up a championship. And I tell you what, I thought somebody told me that's like his third championship, but they said they wasn't for sure. But to find out tonight, that's his first championship for as long as he's been racing.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
He did his time on asphalt, too, though.
Congratulations, Charlie Stats.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
He had a huge season.
Sure did.
I tell you right now, we tore that car down three times ourselves.
Did you really?
And you heard what he said for A&R Machine now, and that's what the Kerrs have, his competitors have.
Look
at it. It just goes to show you that now you've got four guys that can win any week. Actually, five with the 09 car with Tommy Saunders.
Yep.
They're all five on A&R. What's that tell you?
Look out.
Yeah.
Look out for Lake County.
And now they're getting everything situated for next year, which is great. I'm glad to see that. I hope they stay together with that situation and everybody can get along. I think it'll be
wonderful. They're going to be fine.
It'll not only be good for the town, it'll be good for the race, it'll be good for the mini stock division.
That's right.
You'll see all the drivers come back in, and it'll be a great thing.
You talked about Cookie's Junkyard. Danny mentioned that, and that brought up another driver from Umatilla that won a lot of races out there in the Force Owners, Steve Bucher. Remember Steve?
Haven't seen him in a while.
I haven't either, and I was just wondering if you heard of her.
I haven't seen him in a while. We have a gentleman that comes and runs with us on Friday at Ocala named Chisholm, Brian Chisholm.
Brian Chisholm, yep.
Drives the number 66 car. And I think he was part of that Cookies game for a little while. So.
Okay, gotcha. Just curious. Speaking of Umatilla. Well, wonderful interview with our 2008 mini stock champion, Charlie Stats. And still to come, we are going a little bit long for you, but I think you're going to be rewarded, folks, as we get Mr. Showtime out of Tampa, Florida, the latest winner of the late model at Volusia Speedway Park. Shots.
Keep from hiding, and I'm bound to keep on. that's the midnight ride.
Time to get back to work here with Joe Dirt and Billy the Kid.
We are back to work, and indeed with Billy the Kid. I'm Joe Dirt on RealRacingUSA.com or DirtWorldRacing.com. It's Dirt World, folks. We're glad to be on board with you. Going a little bit late, but I think it's going to be well worth it as we wrap up the 2008 Champions Show. Told you about some upcoming events here in 2008. Of course, October 25th, the Kim Allen Memorial as the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series all but wraps up their 2008 season. And the latest winner of the late models, driver of the number 17 SS, this, of course, is the Segman Fire Sprinklers, Thompson Power, Doughboy Sign sponsored effort. Ladies and gentlemen, on the line with us, it's showtime, Sean Smith. You'll be in Henry County, right, Sean?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'll be there.
Sean Smith, I mean, you know, before we get going on Sean Smith, what a month you've had. Let's talk about this Kim Allen Memorial one more time. Remember, advance tickets are on sale for $10. It's a $15 savings because it'll be $25 at the gate. $10 in advance. You can email us at dirtworldshow@yahoo.com. We'll give you the phone numbers to call. Get your tickets now while you can. Use the $15 extra for gas. Get yourself something to eat. Put it towards a hotel room, go down and spend the night. Going to be a huge show. Sean Smith, among others, will be there. Found out this afternoon, Ivan, that Lloyd's supposed to make the run. What an awesome show this is going to be, man, for Kim Allen. I don't know, I'm sure with you being from down that way, they said he was a local business owner who died earlier or died last year with colon cancer. So I'm not sure that you know who he was. Could you tell us a little bit about him, Sean?
I didn't know him. He's a little bit further south. Only thing I know is him and Ken Kenny were business partners at one time, and I know it hit Ken Kenny pretty hard from some of the stuff he said about it. And I know he was really wanting to make this a big deal in his honor,
right?
And for that whole area down there,
right? We'll continue to push it. I mean, that's what I was saying earlier. 50% of the money goes to the local school for the ESC kids. So, I mean, the money goes to a great thing. It's a great cause for Kim Allen. 7,000 to win late models.
Sean, you've had pretty good success down at that racetrack, and that's something Billy and I've driven through there during the day. Obviously, never seen this thing light up, but you had some early success there, you know, with this your late model effort. Take us around that racetrack one time, man.
Well, it's just a tight little bull ring. I mean, it's got a wall all the way around it, and basically, I guess you would say the surface is like a baseball clay, and you never know kind of what you're going to get. It's kind of got a lot of sand in it, but it makes it slick. But I think a lot of guys get in trouble if they ever try to overdrive the place, and you just can't get the bite there that you get at other racetracks. But I think it makes for some good racing. I love the place. I mean, I want to put the races down there. So
yeah, but, no doubt.
Yeah, but hell, man, I'd race on the beach for $7,000.
Exactly. Huh? I mean, I feel the same way, but I'm not one of those guys like that. I mean, I'd go down there if it was 800 to win. I mean,
sure.
I just like to race. I mean, and that's just, if I wasn't racing, I wouldn't be doing anything. So,
and Sean, your goal, like you said in Victory Lane Saturday night at Volusia, is to win at least one at every racetrack you go to, and you're getting pretty damn close to that goal being reached.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm shooting for. I told my wife, last week, we were talking about this after we won at Ocala last week, and I said, we only got three or four more to go, and my boys will have something they're going to have to bank on. Their daddy has won a late model race at every track in Florida, so I'm trying to give them something to shoot for.
You talk about that deal at Ocala, and I know what that meant to you to pick up the win at Ocala, and then We talked about it. The one at Volusia has been elusive to you, and you've had good runs there. You've been leading the race and something go wrong. You've been second, gaining on them, and something go wrong. But, you know, even though Saturday night you drove off from them.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean way gone. It's still, like you said, a victory.
Oh, yeah. I've been awfully fast there whenever the best of the best has been there and, you know, been leading races and lost them because of stupid stuff,
yep.
You know, so.
Maybe
I told Joe down there when the race was over, it was actually a relief to finally get it because,
yep.
Man, that place is, Volusia has just been, it's been good to me, but, man, I've had some bad luck there.
You're still not even, though. She still owes you some more. So
yeah, it still owes me some more, definitely.
Well, this is what I'm saying. You know, people sit back and say once they win the first one, it might, you know, maybe this is what it takes to get the first one underneath you. And now, next time when all the big competition's there, same situation, same scenario.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
the first one to tell you, you know, winning that first race, that's the toughest one. Once you win one of them, you can win them all.
Right.
I mean, and last year I had a good year. You know, I won a bunch of races. And this year we've been so close, and it just ain't fell right. I mean, and now, you know, we won at Ocala last week, then we turn around and back up and win again this week. So, it just kind of falls in line.
Speaking of Ocala, we don't go back there with late models until Halloween night for the big deal. And we talked about bringing you a little boy and letting them trigger treat. And I don't think people understand how huge this thing is going to be. We're going to take the lids off of them. It's a little bit cooler now. We're going to take the lids off. We're going to run 50 laps for $3,000 to win. It's going to be the first topless dirt late model race in Florida for as long as I've been doing this. And,
about 5 years.
It's going to be a great thing. I mean, it's actually the other one was on asphalt, Joe. This is going to be a
great deal. Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. It was on Ocala, though.
I will tell you that we put together a little flyer with your car because you ran topless at Punta Gorda. So, you know, you ran topless with me when I was back at Putnam a couple years ago. Talk about this topless deal. I mean, it's a lot of fun, but meanwhile, what's the safety issue there?
I've heard this about the safety. I mean, I did the topless deal back when I was running the crate stuff with Fast Track. They had some races that were topless, and I think it's cool. I mean, it does tighten the race car up a little bit, but, I mean, people are worried about, and I'm not saying safety is not an issue, but they're worried about, you know, we should be wearing arm restraints if it ain't got a roof on it. Well, I don't see what a 2,000-pound race car, if it gets on its lid, what that piece of sheet metal is going to do any different than what
a carbon fiber roof they got.
Yeah, or a carbon fiber roof. I just don't see it any different than without the roof on it. And, I mean, I think we should race them every week without the roof on them. Everybody in the grandstands gets to look in there and see. I mean, you can see the driver, see them elbows up, see what they're doing, and I think it's cool.
You know, you talk about these late models and safety issues, Bill. I'm sorry, real quick. A lot of these late models have just gone away from the window net. You know, is that because it's so chopped and so low, the window opening?
Well, I don't know if it's that or so much. I know some of the racetracks out of Florida, some of the high bank racetracks, they still are mandatory. But in a dirt late model, you're sitting further to the right than what
right.
you are in like an asphalt car. You know, them guys, their heads are right against the window net.
True, true.
And I think that makes a big difference in it compared to, say, an asphalt car. But I think when you get on some of the higher bank racetracks, just the case of something coming in there, that's why they mandate the window net still. But
now
you look at the World Outlaw Series and
yeah.
the Lucas Oil Series, and none of those guys are running window
yeah,
net.
They're going.
Well, that's what a lot of people don't understand is that window net. Don't get me wrong, it's to keep debris from coming in on you.
Right.
But that window net is a protection to keep your head from hitting. I'll give you a prime example. I know this is a dirt show, but we'll talk about David Rogers when he hit the wall at Orlando Speedway. At Orlando Speedworld, his head hit the wall. It went through the window net and hit the wall. And I've actually...
I remember that.
I was actually racing with Capion Jr. They made them bars right there, and everybody said, they were the only modifieds for that certain bar.
John Capion, yep.
They did that because John Capion Jr., he hit the wall one time, New Smyrna, and his head hit the wall through the window net, and that from that moment on, the senior put those bars in there. So, you know, you talk about that, and I think people get a little more scenario from that, from what you said, Sean. You are sitting a little bit further to the right.
I mean, and now the advancements they've made in seats now. I mean, right. I got one of those new cup-style seats that has a small wraparound on the left side, but,
right.
I mean, I'll tell you the truth, I prefer personally not to run with a window net because years ago when East Bay used to mandate them, I got hit and my car stalled And when I got hit in the left side, I sat there on the racetrack and couldn't get out. I couldn't get the window net down because it got all jammed up.
Right.
And I couldn't get out. So I thought about it, and I said, man, if this thing was on fire, I'd be stuck in there.
Yeah,
I couldn't
yeah.
even get out of it because right. this window net got all jammed up from being run into, and now I can't get out of the race car.
Big weekend coming this weekend, man. The showdown on the coast. I know you're heading that way. You heading tomorrow? Are you going up there tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm actually going to fuel my truck up tonight and heading up tomorrow afternoon as soon as my crew chief gets out of school tomorrow.
How awesome would that be to be standing in victory lane there Saturday night when there's going to be probably 60 of the best of the best there is around? And Sean Smith, you're on that type of role right now where I think you are going to be good when you get there. You're always good there. There's been a couple of times that you went there and you started in the back of the B main, you raced your way to the A main, and you've been consistent in the top 15. But, you know, this time you're going with a different scenario. You're going with coming off a win from Volusia last Saturday, which was kind of like a test session for you, the week before a win at Ocala Speedway. You know, what would it mean to win that showdown this Saturday night?
Well, I can tell you, it would right now, it would be the biggest boost in our racing deal right now. I mean, I can't even, just making the show for those type of races like that, you've accomplished something. But
right.
to come around and win a race like that, I mean, that, you know, when you get into that type of what that race faded to win, I mean, you're right up there with some of the top-notch guys in the country winning those type of races like that.
Still got three big shows to go. Actually, four big shows to go. You got the showdown on the coast this weekend. You got the Kim Allen Memorial on October 25th. Ocala Speedway topless 53,000 to win on that Halloween night, and then November 8th East Bay. So I mean, you still got a road to go here, Buck.
All very doable. Showtime.
It's a busy next 4 weeks. I can tell you that. A
lot of money on the line here, Bud.
A lot, but I mean, that's notorious for dirt late models. You know, October, November is the money months. I mean, and I'll even take it a step further than that. I mean, after we get past East Bay, I mean, there's some big shows. I mean, Volusia's running during the PRI show.
We're running November 22nd. November 22nd
okay.
we'll run, and then we'll also run during the PRI show.
Yep.
So there's two shows there, plus the crate stuff at East Bay. I mean, those are some big shows. Not to mention, there's another big show at Milton.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a racetrack that I want to win at. So.
Yeah, that's one on the list.
That's definitely one on the list.
All right, man. Well, Sean, how's the fire sprinkler business?
It's slow.
A little bit, huh?
Yeah, I think everybody's in the same boat. We, you know, we're surviving, but that's about it.
So, of course, you got, Doughboy wrapping the car. The thing finally looks like it needs
man,
to be
that
on
thing
a
looks
racetrack.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that's the worst thing. I see it, Sean. I'm like, damn, why don't he do something with that orange race car? Finally
I
did.
Afford it.
Yeah, I know. And man, the thing is beautiful, and it obviously is. It helped you guys. There's no doubt about it. A good-looking car usually races good. There's no doubt.
Yeah, I really say I got to thank Patrick. That's all his. That was his design and everything. I mean, I told him kind of what I wanted, and he told me, "You let me worry about designing it, and then I'll bet you'll like it." Sure enough, he did. And you know, that's another deal with Bill Thompson building my motors.
Yep.
You know, I get his insight, and plus Patrick and I, we talk on the phone about every other day. You know, bouncing stuff off of each other and all. So I think that's really helped our program out a lot also.
Sean, we talked about the fact that you are one of only two cars on the planet with Thompson Power that Bill's turning the wrenches on these things. Does Bill have any aspirations at this, you know, at his age and certainly status in the racing industry to perhaps, you know, kind of expand out, or is he happy with just you and Doughboys?
No, he definitely would like to sell some more motors, and I believe Andy Schell was actually talking to him about
nice.
Having a motor built. So, you know, that was kind of Bill's thing. You know, Patrick and I could run up front and maybe sell some motors, get his name out there, and maybe it's starting to take off a little bit since we're doing
Andy's
a little better now.
Andy's got a lot of money, so don't think he don't. He can get whatever he wants for it. Well, Showtime, Sean Smith, always a pleasure to have you, man, as your first appearance on Dirt World. Really means a lot to us tonight, man, and like you said, just a lot coming up. We wish you the best and look forward to seeing you. We'll see you Saturday night at Golden Isles if it ain't raining.
All right, Joe. Take it easy. Thank you,
all
Billy.
Right,
thanks, man. Be good. Congratulations on your big win, and I'll see you Saturday, bud.
All right, see you.
See right. you. Sean Smith, big part of RealRacingUSA.com, and man, his first appearance on Dirt World, really appreciate that tonight. That's cool.
Hey, you know, Sean's one of them ones that picked up a win at Ocala earlier and then picked up a win at Volusia this week, and he deserves to be on the show, and
definitely.
That's what we're looking for. And you bring new things to the show. He's coming out of the plants here. Like you said, him and Doughboy talk a lot, and they're starting to get things rolling. And
man, I'd like to see Sean go to Golden or go to Golden Isles and make the show. I know it's going to be tough for everybody because they're going to have 60 cars, but, you know, I'd like to see him go there and do good. And then, you know, he's going to do good at Clueston. He should do good at Clueston. It's kind of like a home track for him. He's had success there before. And then you got Ocala. He's the latest winner in the late model there. And we got the big show on Halloween night, 3,000 win topless. And then the East Bay on November 8th. And then, like I said, 22nd. And next time we race late models at Volusia, he will be the defending race winner because our the last race winner since we ran. So he's got a big month coming up for all the late models, not just him, but for everybody.
I mean, absolutely. Absolutely. Want to take a minute to thank BJ checking in on the email tonight with Jimbo. Terry Caton, our long-lost friend enjoying South Florida. Thank Alan Peacock, the 2008 UMP Dirt Car Street Stock Champion from Volusia. Danny Lund in the four-cylinder, Charlie Stats in the mini stock. And, of course, Showtime Sean Smith. It's been a great program.
It has been a great program. And, you know, and finish it out by saying, don't forget the Kim Allen Memorial at Henry County, October 25th. Get your tickets now, $10 in advance or $25 at the gate. I keep hitting this because I'm telling you, with the economy the way it is, it's a $15 savings. And if it's two of you, three of you, or a family of four, look at the money you could save.
Absolutely.
You know, drop us an email or give us a call, and we'll take care of you, hook you down on that deal. But it's $10 in advance or $25 at the gate.
A lot of racing this weekend. Friday night, Ocala. Saturday night, Golden Isles. Billy
Ocala,
doesn't believe me, but I'm going.
Ocala, 1,000 to win Sportsman this Friday night.
Yeah, Sportsman, that's your shot. This is your shot.
This is your chance. Expecting around 20 of them. I'm going to be on the phone with them again this week and try to get as many as we can. Saturday night, Brunswick for the showdown on the coast.
Absolutely. Devil Rays has got one to go. They can do it tomorrow, the Tampa Bay Rays, and we will be in the World Series.
World
for
Series.
Billy the Kid, I'm Joe Dirt. It's been a pleasure. Thank you, everybody.
Go out and get some dirt on your dough.
Get some dirt on your face. All right, good night.